This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Hello. I'm so excited about this podcast episode. It's the mid-year check-in, and technically it's not mid-year, but really close enough. So hear me out. I'm big on setting goals. I think if you've been listening to this podcast, you kind of have grasped that. If you know me on any level, whether it's from Lemon or personally, or maybe you worked with me or whatever, you know I love setting goals. I love crushing them. I set goals for all sorts of things. When I turned 30, I made a list of things I wanted to do in my 30s before I turned 40. And it was like a crazy list, like, you know, start a business that will make enough money that I can quit my corporate job. Did that at 31. Build my dream house. Did that at 35. Like, I don't even know. But like, it was like big things, most of it. And I just remember like reading my list to my husband and him like laughing. He was like, okay, that'd be nice. And here we are. I've pretty much accomplished majority of that list and expanded on it. And I'm going to be 38 in September. So I still got time to crush even more goals. And I just think it's such a powerful tool to be able to verbalize what you want, visualize it, and then go after it. This is why manifesting is so big. This is why being positive and positive thinking can be so powerful. Like anytime my husband, my kids, my mom, anyone in my life is being negative, my first thought is, well, we're not going to get anywhere with that attitude, you know? And I get it. We all get down on ourselves. We all have bad moods. We all have bad moments. You know, we all have moments where we need someone to kind of pick us up and help us out and make us feel better and whatever. But majority of the time, I'm living my life in a why not mentality. Why not? Why not start a business and quit my corporate job? Why not? Right? And everything sounds crazy until you do it. I am entering my 8th holiday season for Lemon, 7 years in business. And I just like, all I can think is nobody at this point would be like, oh, you can't run your own business. You can't have a successful enough business to not work your corporate job. Nobody. Nobody would have the balls to say that to me. Why? Because I've been doing it for so many years. But when I initially wanted this goal, everyone thought I was crazy for many reasons, right? I mean, you know, I think part of it was what I wanted to do as a business, right? It's like really, like I went from working in software technology to opening a gift shop. Like literally everyone was like, who does that? But, you know, again, no matter what your goal is, big or small, everyone thinks you're crazy until you do it, period. When I started my early morning workout routine, the first few months, my husband would say, are you going to work out in the morning? Like it was like a question. Now that I've been doing it for over a year, he doesn't even ask because he knows unless I have an early morning plan, like I have to go to Lemon super early or I'm catching an early flight, or I'm sick, I'm literally up and working out. Sometimes I don't feel good and I still do it because I'm like, eh, it'll make me feel better. And maybe I only do 25 minutes, 30 minutes, but it's better than nothing. But he doesn't question me at all because I've accomplished that goal and I put it in my routine. It's like asking me if I'm going to shower. Like, are you going to shower tomorrow? Like, obviously, why are you asking, you know? So that you just have to like, that's my two cents about setting goals in general, is stop letting the negative talk enter your mind and tell you you can't do it. Why not? Why not? You're 45 and want to be a model? Go model. There's models that are older. They need older models, you know? I mean, you want to write a book? Write a book. You want to learn to play the guitar? Learn to play the guitar. You want to learn another language? Let's learn another language. Like, I don't care what your goal is. It could be something as simple as I want to floss every day, and I don't floss every day right now. Like, I don't care what it is. Goal setting is so important, and it doesn't. And I think a lot of times people mess up by thinking that, oh, if I'm setting goals, I'm putting more on my plate. No, not necessarily. My goal to run my own business and leave my corporate job gave me the freedom of time. It gave me, one, I don't have to commute to the city, which is what I was doing at the time. I was living in the East Bay, commuting into San Francisco on BART every day. But let me rephrase that. I did, when I quit my corporate job, I was working from home part-time. And that's because I cut a deal with my CEO. And that's after I gave birth to my youngest and I just couldn't do it anymore. But I don't think that that was sustainable. And most of my career, I was commuting in an office or I was working in the field. I did outside sales at the beginning of my career. So I was in other people's offices basically. So anyways, my point is that I didn't have to commute anymore. Didn't have to have long office hours. I hated sitting at a desk in front of a computer. Like, I have my own office. I'm sitting in my office right now doing this podcast. I love sitting down to do a podcast. I love sitting down to get some lemon work done. I control my time. There's no one forcing me to work 7-8 hours a day at a desk in front of a computer. Sometimes my work is at the store. I'm standing, I'm walking. Sometimes I'm literally laying in bed or laying in couch on my laptop working. Sometimes I'm on the phone if I got to take care of something like that. And then sometimes I'm sitting at my desk. Like, it has such a variety. The key for me was the control of my time. So yeah, it was a big goal and it was hard to accomplish. But once I did it and put the wheels in motion, I gained so much freedom in a lot of ways. Even when I started Lemon and I was the only person, I didn't have any employees. The store was open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 3, and that was it. So I was still working less hours than when I worked corporate, and my commute was 5 minutes. I literally drove, you know, back roads from my house to the Danville store at the time. So yeah, a lot of times we look at a goal and we're like, oh, it's so daunting. And it's like, yeah, but why is it a goal, right? Like, for me to quit my corporate job to do Lemon, it increased my freedom and my ability to be a mom, as well as I love what I do versus not necessarily loving what I do. I think also at the end of my corporate career, I was really bored in my position, to be honest. I just was. I had been doing it for over 5 years. And I knew the next step was to find a new job. And instead of finding a new job, I started my business. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons and moving parts and whatever. But there's so much more to it. I kind of just lost my train of thought. It's so funny because I will start talking and I'm thinking of like 17 different things I want to explain, and then it goes in all different directions. Okay, but yes, when you plan a goal and you feel like, oh, it's so daunting, that's what holds you back. But once you accomplish that goal, where does it get you? So I think you have to think more about the finish line. And if you are putting a goal in place because you're doing it to impress others or to look good in any capacity, whether it's to like impress your parents or your friends or, you know, look good on social media or whatever, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. So right there, that goal needs to get off your plate. If a goal feels daunting, it's probably because you're doing it for the wrong reasons. If a goal feels exciting and amazing and you want that finish line, that's the goal to go after. Yeah, and I get it. Like if one of your goals is to be healthy and work out and eat well, it can feel very exhausting. Like, oh, I don't want to think about everything that's going in my mouth. I don't want to meal prep. I don't want to, you know, be careful and shop organic and non-GMO and filter my water and like all these things you have to do to really be a healthy person. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Our food system, our medical system has been designed to make it the most difficult thing we could do. But you still know that the end game, right? Like the ending, you're like, I know I want to be that person. I want to be the healthiest version I can be. I want to be, you know, I want to have longevity. I want to have energy for my kids, for my family. I want to look good in a bathing suit. I want to be able to go to bed feeling good, wake up every day feeling good, and run through my life feeling good. I want to have good skin. I want to have good hair. I want like all the things that come with being a healthy person you want. That's the driving factor. If your only reason for being healthy is to like, I don't know, I'm making this up, like look good in a Facebook post or not, who's on Facebook, Instagram post, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons, right? Like it needs to be big enough that that ending is what's driving you. So I wanted to make that clear in setting goals because that's really important. Now, I'm really big in the set goals in the new year. A lot of people like to talk shit about that and they love to say, well, you know, oh, New Year's resolutions don't work, don't do it, blah, blah, blah. And I get it. On some level, they don't work, right? If you're just gonna wake up on January 1st and go, I'm gonna start working out and eating healthy and I'm gonna save money and blah, 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 and then 2 weeks later, you're eating a donut and a huge grande Starbucks, whatever, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't work, but that's not the point. The point of setting goals is to really look at what you want, not just something that society has told you to do. So that's definitely step one. It's dialing in your goals. And let me back up a little bit. I love setting a New Year's goal, but I do think New Year's is kind of weird. Like I think the timing of New Year's is so weird. Like you're coming off Christmas, you're in the dead of winter, the beginning of winter, and it's like, let's set goals for the new year. And it just doesn't feel very natural. You're very much in cozy mode and you're kind of coming off the high of Christmas. Like Christmas is legit. I'm sorry. It just is. There's just so much like, it can be very stressful and whatever also, but like if you really dial it in, it's such a fun time, especially if you're a parent, like just seeing it through your kids' eyes. And like, why are we going to come off of that high of Christmas and then be like, let's do it. We're going to organize our house. We're going to work out. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And da 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 da. It doesn't feel natural. And growing up, I always compared it to the Persian New Year. Persian New Year is the first day of spring, so in March. And that always made more sense to me. Like even my husband will say like, that makes way more sense, right? Like the first day of spring, everything is coming back into bloom. We're getting more sunny days. You know, the trees are getting their leaves back. Like it just makes a lot more sense, right? But even that is weird for me because March is like, you're kind of still in go mode. Like if you're a parent, your kids are in school, you got sports, you're just like doing all these things. It doesn't feel like a fresh start, you know? So my favorite now is this mid-year check-in. I started doing the mid-year check-in. I think it was 2019. It's when I went to two stores. And that's when I feel like I kind of had to dial things really in, because to manage both stores, all those employees, I had little kids, you know, there was a lot of moving parts. Like when I think back, I'm like, there was a lot of moving parts. I had my nanny, I had my head of operations, I had my store managers. Like I had just so many moving parts that I had to be super organized. So that's when I started doing the mid-year check-in, where you basically just check in with your goals for the year. You see how much you've accomplished, what you haven't accomplished. Maybe you need to make some changes. Like maybe you set some goals and you're like, this didn't pan out, I want to do it this way. Or, you know, maybe you have a new goal you've kind of added in, which changes your other goals because there's only so much you could do within a year, things like that. But also you're doing it because things change. And my best example is COVID. 2020, I very, you know, not knowing the world was going to freak out in January, set my goals. Come March, the world fell apart. Come my mid-year check-in by June, July, a lot had happened and a lot had changed. And I literally had to like rewrite the script. And so that's a very like extreme example, sure. But life happens fast and a lot can happen. Maybe someone passes away. Maybe someone loses a job. Maybe, you know, you reach a goal faster than you thought for whatever reason. Maybe you like go viral on social, or I don't know. Maybe you thought a goal was going to be harder than it than it was. Like you completed it and you have more free time. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you get sick. Maybe, you know, whatever. Like you can definitely think of hundreds and hundreds of examples of how things can change from January to summer. Right? So we always want to look at that and not discredit that. And then you want to make edits, you know? And when I say make edits, you are to never change your year goals. Like I like to take pen to paper and literally write down my goals at the beginning of the new year, and I'm not allowed to change it. There's no editing, there's no adding, there's no crossing out, there's no deleting, nothing. You are to leave it, because in that moment you had a mindset that this is what you wanted and you took the time to write those goals. Now things could change, great, but you still want that starting point, because come January 2025, you are going to look back at your last year's goals. One, it'll show you how far you've come, whether you like it or not. And it will show you how much your mindset has changed. And maybe it hasn't changed at all. You might look at 2024 at the beginning of 2025 and go, I'm kind of in the same place, which is totally okay. The bigger the goal, the longer it might take, period. So there's not like a get discouraged. It's just you need those markers. It feels so good to look at those markers later. So do that for yourself. When I say make edits, it's kind of like you're starting a new page and you're going to go, okay, these are my goals. This is what I've accomplished. This is what I'm adding. This is how I'm changing things. And you kind of make those quote unquote edits. The other thing I did is I moved my mid-year check-in to the end of July, where basically the kids are going back to school. So here in the Nashville area, the kids go back early August, which a lot, you know, whatever, people have their opinions about it. I like it. I'm like, we've had a great summer. We're getting back on schedule. We're getting back into sports. And it makes the most sense in my brain. And I think most parents can relate, where you can kind of dial in. You're done with the traveling and, you know, the play dates and the pool days and the, you know, the trying to work from home with the kids running around and the summer camps and, you know, visitors and whatever, right? Like a lot of it has ended and you're getting back into normal routine. I think it's the best time to do one of these check-ins. So if you are a parent, and even if you're not, I think naturally a lot of people like to travel in the summer And then naturally we kind of get back into rhythm. And then the holidays kind of put these landmarks in place for us to end the year. So you know Halloween is coming, you know Thanksgiving week is coming, you know Christmas is coming. And it kind of puts us in a natural rhythm, even if we don't have kids. So that's my two cents on when to do the check-in and why we're doing it. Now, from there, you are to fill in your priorities first. So let's say you want to write a book and you get to the half year mark, you've done almost nothing and you're really disappointed with yourself. Fine, no big deal, let it go, life goes on. What can you do in the next 5 months, right? Because you have August, September, October, November, December, 5 months. 5 months. This is another reason why I like waiting, because 5 months, 4 or 5 months feel a lot more, like you can put it in bite-sized pieces versus looking at half a year. So maybe that's just my crazy. All right. So you're looking at 5 months if you're me, maybe 4 months if your kids go to school a little bit later, whatever. Just go with it. What can you do in the next 5 months that will get you closer to your goal? I don't think that you can write a whole book in 5 months without losing your mind, especially if you're busy. Okay? So that's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to write the whole book in 5 months. But let's put actual goals in place. Your priority is to work on the book. Okay, you're going to decide that in the next 5 months that you're going to have an outline of what the book is about. And then you are going to do chapters 1, 2, and 3. Okay, let's say the book is 10 chapters. I'm just literally making this up on the spot, you guys. But hang with me. All right, so you know that your priority is outline and 3 chapters before New Year's. How are you going to accomplish that? Maybe you expect, okay, each chapter takes X amount of hours. So you break it down, you do the math, whatever it comes to, and you decide all you need is 20 minutes a day. If you can sit down and work uninterrupted for 20 minutes a day, you're going to hit your goal. Now, of course, if you have extra time, great. You know, maybe you have a day that you get super sick and you can't do it. That's fine. You can make up a 20 minutes here or there. But for the most part, your goal is 20 minutes of writing a day. So this is why you do your priorities first. You know that that 20 minutes of writing a day is a priority because you have to do that to hit your goal. It's kind of like, you know, deciding that you're going to wake up and work out every morning. You know that that 1 hour every morning is dedicated to your workout. That becomes the priority. You're going to set your alarm. You're going to wake up early. You're going to work out. You're going to do it all before the kids wake up and it's out of your way. That is another example, right? So you plug in all these priorities first. You figure out your goals, you plug in your priorities, and then you circle back and you kind of fill in the I have to do's, right? For example, as a mother, I know that I have to, and I get to, I have to be with my kids from about 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. The bus comes at 8 a.m. From 7 to 8, I'm mom, and that's it. I am getting them up. I am getting them fed. I'm hanging out with them. I'm getting their lunch boxes into their backpacks. I'm getting their water bottles filled. We're brushing teeth. We're making beds. We're taking vitamins, whatever. I'm mom for that hour. Nothing else will come during that hour. So I know that that's a have to. So again, going back to my priorities, I know I need to work out. So I need to be done with my workout by at least 7 o'clock. Now, ideally, I'm working out and I'm showering and then I'm going into my hour with my kids, whatever, right? But I know that I have to be with my kids for that hour. I also will look at the school schedule. I will look at sports schedule, plug all that stuff in. I know that, you know, certain Wednesdays my kids have an early release. I will plug that in because I will have to be more available, or my husband will have to be, someone has to be available, right? So you start to plug in the have to's. Now, why do we do the priorities first and have to second? Because if we do the have to's first, our priorities start to take a back seat. So all of a sudden, your everyday morning workout gets pushed to the side, right? Where if I've had already plugged that in, I work it around my have to's. So I know I have to wake up at 5:45 in the morning to work out in order to get to my 7 to 8 a.m. with my kids, right? Also, you can make adjustments. So I have to make dinner for my family every night, right? I can, let's say I've got certain things I'm trying to accomplish. I need to take something off my plate. I could say to my husband, hey, 2 nights a week, I need to not cook dinner or clean dinner. So we either do takeout or you cook or whatever, but I'm not cooking 2 nights out of the week. I need to hit this goal. This is my priority. I need this extra time. This is what needs to happen, right? So again, this is why our priorities come first and our have to's come second. You make the plan, you talk to your husband, everyone's in place. You know, maybe you just make it the same every week, like every Monday, Fridays, you're not cooking. I'm just making this up, okay? But these are the little things you have to think about because they start to add up. If all of a sudden your workout's getting squeezed, all of a sudden you're cooking every night and you're not able to have any extra time for something, or, you know, whatever. I mean, even like making time to eat lunch, like basics can be, you have to be really careful. Otherwise you can get burnt out. You could be busy, but not actually accomplishing. And that's the biggest issue people have, is that they're busy, but they're not accomplishing. And if you haven't listened to episode 2 of this podcast about how I plan my days, that is crucial. Crucial. I mean, this is like elite level, what I'm talking about today. Planning your days, that's 101, basic. Like if you're not planning your days properly, everything I'm saying right now is going to sound difficult. Okay? Not going to be difficult if you already have done step 1. Okay? So, super important that you are dialed in. And let me tell you, and I say this, I believe, in that episode where I talk about planning my days, people think that planning means more work. Planning means more fun. Planning means more relaxation. Planning means more calmness. Planning means less stress. Okay? You're going to hit your goals. You're going to feel better about it. You're going to have better communication skills. I can tell you that since I started planning my days, I started communicating with my husband better, where I'm able to say, hey, this is what my day looks like, especially being a business owner, you guys, because it can get very wishy-washy. You don't have a boss. You're kind of just doing your own thing. But I can say to my husband, this is what my day looks like. These are the things I have to do. These are what needs to happen for the kids. And this is what I would like to do. And it's very clear cut, drawn out. Another thing I did that really helped me with planning my days and planning my years, and you might think I'm slightly crazy, but I swear it works, is I plan our meals by 3 to 4 days at a time. So I try to grocery shop on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's been a little all over the place because of summer. Like if you're traveling and then you come back and you grocery shop on a different day, you know, and like right now my husband took the kids for their last camping trip and they're gone. So it's like, I don't need that much food. It's just me, you know? But normally I try to do grocery shopping every Wednesday and Sunday. So Wednesdays, I'm grocery shopping for Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday I know I'm going to get more groceries. So I'm planning our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast is usually pretty basic. Lunch, it depends if I'm packing their lunch boxes or not, and then dinner as a family. this has completely changed my life. Not only has it helps me also keep things fun for us where we're not doing like Mexican two nights in a row or whatever. Also, it keeps us healthier because we're mostly eating in, which is nice. But then also it keeps me organized with my husband. I can literally say to my husband, okay, what do we want to do for dinner the next few days? Okay, so Monday we've got baseball practice. You're taking the boys. I can be home. I can make this, this, and this. Maybe I do like a teriyaki chicken and rice and whatever, salads. And then the next day, maybe you could barbecue. I'll get some steaks. You could barbecue. We'll make some, you know, potatoes, whatever, easy peasy. And then the next day we do leftovers, whatever, right? Like we have a plan and I just think that it's so important. So anyways, that's my other tip. I could talk tips. I think there also is an episode on time management, which I think is really powerful. If you're having a hard time, it might be your inability to grasp time properly, where one of my favorite tricks is just to like time yourself doing something. You know, a lot of times we build it up in our head where we're like, oh my God, the kitchen is a mess. Look at all the dishes we have to do. I'm so tired. I'll do it tomorrow. But if you actually set a timer and clean that kitchen and then go back and see how long it took you and you see it took you 17 minutes or 14 minutes or whatever, it starts to diffuse the, ugh, I don't want to do it, right? Who cares? 14 minutes and your whole kitchen is spotless, like no brainer, do that and then go to bed. Don't wake up to that, right? So it's little things like that that can truly be life-changing in my opinion. And, you know, I've had people tell me I'm a clean freak and I'm, you know, it's OCD and it's weird. Like, but I don't like going to bed with a messy house. I just don't. And for a long time, I would laugh it off or play it off like I'm weird. But then I realized I'm not weird. I'm just clean and organized. And that's more normal, isn't it? Like, I don't know. So anyways, I kind of went a little bit off the rails, but I think all of it is tied together. Like if you're looking at a mid-year check-in and it feels daunting, one, that's okay. In some ways it should, because your goal should scare you. But if it's like literally confusing on how to plan these things, you need to go to basics. The basics being planning your days, planning your weeks, good communication, and being able to do good time management. So once you got all that in place, you plug in your priorities, you plug in your have to's, the things you have to do that are just part of life. And then you can fill in things you want. Like, hey, if I have the time, I'd love to do, I don't know, I'm just making this up, an afternoon stroll with my husband and catch up. Or I would love to take a nap. Or I would love to get a massage, or I would love to go to lunch and catch up with a friend, or whatever. Fill in the blank. Now, if you go back and listen to episode 2, one thing I talk about is when you plan your days, you're also making sure that you're planning the important things like self-care, relaxation, and fun, which adults like to mess this up, right? Or we're doing self-care, but we're not doing the fun part or whatever. So it's really eye-opening and it does allow you to plug that stuff in. But I will also say that on some level, reaching your goals should be fun. You know, spending time with your kids should be fun. You know, living your day-to-day life should be enjoyable. So if that's not happening, we need to look at life on a bigger scale. But if we're able to fill in some extras, why not? Like, I love a massage. Do I have to get a massage? Not really. But I love a good massage. I think it's also important to be healthy. But, you know, do I have time to go get a massage every other month? Not necessarily. But if I'm able to fill it in, I will. So go ahead and make a list of what those fill-ins will be. And hopefully you can fill those in. And sometimes you can multitask. Like, one of my favorite things is to go for a walk with a friend, with my dog. And I feel like, okay, I'm getting exercise. I'm catching up with a friend. I'm walking my dog. I'm getting fresh air and sunlight. Like, you're knocking so many things out. So having that in your back pocket is great, where you can like literally text your neighbor and be like, hey, you want to go for a walk? Like, I have a free hour. Are you free? And then plug it in. That's the beauty. That's why being scheduled and planning things, it's not more stuff to do. It's more freedom to do. And as soon as you can change your mindset, it changes everything. Like people that I can tell when someone doesn't set goals. I just can. Because I know that if you are setting goals and you're planning your days and you're focused, that you're also a little more relaxed, a little more pep in your step, a little more happiness has been inserted, right? Also, I feel like if you're not setting goals and you're not planning your days and you're not doing all these things, you set up a lot of time to do nothing. Like you set up a lot of time to look at your phone on social media or, you know, stress about things you don't need to stress about. And, you know, a lot of people that say they have anxiety, I'm like, two things. When someone says that they're anxious and or depressed, my first thought is, what are you eating and are you working out? And then my second thought is, what are your goals and are you planning your days? And I guarantee that most people that have any level of depression or anxiety are not doing these things. Who feels stress after they work out? Nobody. You have natural endorphins. You feel good. It just puts a little happy dance in your mood. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Again, I'm all over the place with this episode. I swear it all makes sense. There's just so much to this, you know? Like, there's so much to this that I really want everyone to understand, including the people in my life. Like, I can tell you that I do all these things, but my husband doesn't completely. Every once in a while, he'll get super organized, and I can tell. I can tell he's got an extra pep in his step, a little extra motivation, a little extra happiness. Sometimes he'll make a nice to-do list, and just, we all love a good to-do list, okay? We make a to-do list, we cross things off, and sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes to go to sleep at night, you just need to pull out your phone, open up your notes, make a to-do list, and the next day start knocking things off the list. I actually did that last night for today because, like I said, the kids and my husband are all camping. I'm alone, which is great. And I have like things I want to accomplish. And I know that the more I accomplish now, I can rest plus have more fun and relaxation when they come home. So I made this to-do list, and it's like, some of this stuff is stupid. Like, call this place and change your credit card because like I had an old credit card, now I have a new one. You know, it's like little stuff, and then some of the stuff is bigger. One of the things was I wanted to record this podcast episode, like things like that. Did I have to do this podcast episode today? Not necessarily. I could have done it tomorrow, could have done it tonight. But I made my list. I want to crush it. And then I know by this evening, I can just chill, like literally chill because I'm home alone, you know? So sometimes that's what we need, is just to like crush the day, a good to-do list. And I'm not anti any of it, none of it. So I just think we have to stop with this like, I'm too good for that. Like, no, you're not too good for a to-do list. You're not too good for planning your days. You're definitely not too good for making goals and crushing them. We all need that. The key to happiness in life is having purpose. And yeah, on some level, you have purpose. Maybe you've got your kids, you got your marriage, maybe you've got your career, whatever. You got family members, friends counting on you, parents, whatever. But there's so much more to life than just being a mom and a wife, or being a husband and a dad, or being a friend, or being a coworker. There's so much more layers. And if we wake up with more of that passion for what we're doing and purpose, then more happiness follows. So why not? Like, if you're happy with motherhood, imagine if you had motherhood and then 10 out of the things you want. Like, really envision it. Also, let me say this about setting goals. I don't care how stupid you think your goal sounds. I'm just going to say it. Sometimes our goals sound so stupid. Like, maybe your goal is to lay on the beach in Greece eating a Greek salad, and that's like one of your goals. And in the back of your head, you're a little bit like, that's a stupid goal. That's a stupid goal. Like, you know, people want to like start nonprofits and like change the world. And one of my goals is, again, this is completely made up, is to lay on the beach. And by the way, I say Greece with a Greek salad because we did Greece years ago in Mykonos, and the best Greek salads ever. So I would love to see myself back on a Greek island eating a Greek salad. But anyways, but like that's your goal. I don't care how stupid you think it sounds. It's beautiful. Have the vision. Envision yourself there. What are you wearing? How are you feeling? What does it smell like? How does it feel to just take a deep breath and relax on the beach in Greece, sipping on a drink, having your Greek salad, hanging with whoever it is you want to be with when you're there, and just envision it and go after it. I think a lot of times people shy from making goals because something like that seems so minute or silly, or, you know, oh, my goal should be something crazy. Like, I want to be a best-selling author, or I want to be a movie star or whatever. And sometimes our goals are really big and sometimes they're smaller. And also, going to Greece and laying on the beach is a lot. You got to pay for it. You got to find the time to go. You got to go the time, right time of the year. You got, like, there's a lot of moving pieces. So we don't need to be down on ourselves on what our goal is. So if you're really stuck and or at the beginning, take a piece of paper and start brainstorming. Think about all the things you want. It could be big. It could be small. It could be something that you want 10 years from now. It could be something that you want tomorrow. It could be a goal you want to have with your husband or with your wife. It could be a goal you have for your children. It could be whatever. Like, literally just dump everything on a piece of paper and just go for it. This is why they say journaling is so powerful, and gratitude journals and things like that, because something about pen to paper is different with our brain and being able to get things out. And also, a lot of times when you brainstorm, you start one way and you end a different place, and all of a sudden something clicks for you, and you're able to be like, oh, I was going down this path, but I really see myself in this path now. Whatever that may be, right? Maybe your goal, I just, like, I keep making up these examples. I should have these examples ahead of time, you guys, but I'm not that person. I just like to talk freely. So anyways, here's another example I just made up on the top of my head. So let's say you've been going down the path of physical fitness and you have been becoming a trainer, became a yoga instructor, you've been working at different studios and gyms, you've been doing videos on Instagram, and you start brainstorming. And by the end of your brainstorming, you're like, I do love fitness. I do love teaching. But to really help people, I see myself as more of a nutritionist and holistic person and someone that could really teach people how to eat properly and how, you know, food is such a big percent of it, and where working out is like the icing on the cake kind of thing. And all of a sudden it clicks for you and you're like, yeah, I love health and wellness, but instead of going down fitness path, I want to switch gears. I want to get, you know, whatever, my license or my degree in nutrition, dietitian, and I want to go down this path and I really want to be mentored by this person. And all of a sudden, you're still in the health and wellness world, but your path has changed. And that's why things like brainstorming can be so powerful, because maybe in that brainstorming session, all of a sudden you realize that instead of writing certain things about working out and physical movement and, you know, that sort of thing, you start writing a lot about, you know, food being medicine and, you know, the importance of getting fiber and protein and veggies, or, you know, your disgust with processed foods or whatever, right? I'm making this up, but like all of a sudden you're brainstorming and you're like, wait a second, like I need to be going down this path. This is where my passion has led me. Doesn't discredit what you did before, but you're going a different way. And that's why it's so powerful. And sometimes you brainstorm and you end up right back where you were. And you're like, no, I'm on the right path. Like, I've got this. But at least you know that you are on the right path. You don't have to second guess yourself and you don't have to wonder. So, yeah, brainstorming. And the funny thing about brainstorming is at first it feels really silly. Like you just start like writing stuff down. You're like, this is so dumb. But then by the end, you're like, okay, I think I can make something of this. Like I can piece this into something special. And sometimes we have our best aha moments from a brainstorming session by ourselves in a notebook, pen to paper. And you don't even have to tell anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to show anybody. You don't have to keep it. You could brainstorm, rip it out, throw it away. Like, you don't need to keep that, you know? Okay. So back to the mid-year check-in. I literally just went 17 different directions, but this is my favorite time of the year. I think also for me with Lemon, I have to be dialed in this time of the year. I am prepping to launch holiday. For the store, things move really quickly where we go from holiday to holiday to holiday, and Christmas being the biggest, of course. And I'm doing my earliest launch for Christmas ever. So, you know, I haven't announced it yet on social, but I will. But this is going to be our earliest holiday release ever in the history of Lemon. We are launching September 3rd. I believe it's a Wednesday after Labor Day. And did I say that right? No, I'm sorry. September 4th. I'm getting confused because there's a day that we're shutting down to set up holiday and then the day that we've actually released holiday. So that's why I got confused. So it's the Wednesday after Labor Day. It's going to be so early. It's going to be the biggest holiday season we've ever done. But anyways, I've been prepping for this and I have to continue that holiday hustle throughout. Also, all of September, we have birthdays. We've got, you know, Mason's turning 10. We've got my birthday, my mom's birthday, my husband's birthday. Even the dog has a September birthday. Like, we are just birthday central in September. So, you know, I like having things dialed in by then, like, so I can really enjoy everyone's birthdays, my own birthday. I actually planned, I already knew I wanted to do holiday early, but I did it extra early because my birthday is September 10th, which is the following week after we launched holiday on the 4th. And I was like, I want to get this all done. Like, I want to get holiday launched. I want to get the store flipped. I want to do all of these things before my birthday so I can really relax, enjoy, do whatever I want for my birthday, like stress-free, all the things. And, I think that's part of the reason why the mid-year I love so much is just because of the natural rhythm of Lemon. So I do need to ramp up for holiday season, get everything dialed in, but, you know, I don't want to lose sight of my personal goals either, you know, because my business goals are very different than my personal goals. And then there's things like this podcast, like passion projects that are also kind of a little bit lumped into what I do for business, but also personal. So it's really important to like lay it all out. And some people like to print out calendars, blank calendar pages, and just fill it in. Some people like to do it digitally. Some people like to do a shared calendar with their husband or wife so they can all be on the same page. Like whatever works for you, that part I don't think matters that much. I think it's more doing the actual planning and knowing where you're going. If you don't know where you're going to enter, you know, New Year's 2025, which by the way, 2025 sounds so weird, but you're going to enter, you know, the beginning of 2025 so confused. And I used to always say to people, like, you don't want to enter the new year feeling like, oh, like I let myself go. I've been eating all this crap and not working out. And like, I just think it's so much deeper than that now. Like, yes, all of that. Yes. And I'm not saying not to have fun with holiday and, you know, have the pumpkin pies and whatever, but you don't want to just like let yourself go. So there's a way to like lean into holiday and enjoy it without entering the new year feeling like complete crap. And that's the point of the mid-year check-in. So think about, envision you on New Year's Day, and who do you want to be? There's a lot that you can do in 5 months and like literally be a new person come New Year, and then set all new goals. And it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be exhausting. You don't have to hustle, but you do need a plan. So I hope this was helpful. I can't believe how long I talked and it was all over the place, but I really do recommend some of those early episodes. I really kind of poured a lot of this information out early on because that's kind of what I was preaching on Instagram and with my, I was doing some business coaching and I was preaching to my clients. That's like the most important, is really getting dialed in on what it is you really want. I mean, how can you really be happy if you don't even know what you want, right? Yeah. So let's go crush it. I'm excited to end this year strong. And I can't believe it's going to be 2025. That just sounds so weird, but it is. And yeah, there's a whole life waiting ahead of us. Let's do it.